Hey, Cindy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Rodney?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Well, to everyone today on Burn the Ship, we have Miss Cindy Nelson, and she's with Nelson Elder Care Law, and she's just going to share with us about herself and her journey and how she's gotten to different places. So, hey, without further ado, you know, how's it going?
Going very well.
Good, good. So today, you know, you got over here, got a chance to spend some time with us. You know, when we do these, we try to just find out your why, you know, on what you do, you know, because you know your service is going to be excellent. But we try to dig down a little bit and say, hey, why is it that she got into doing this? And then that way, as you're sharing the message with everyone today, you know, they'll say, not just the service, but this is her why, and that's why I want to work with her. So to get started, where are you from?
I was born in Chicago.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Windy there.
City. Nice. Yeah, nice. So you went to school there, and what happened? Tell us a little bit about your family and things like that.
Yeah. And so I grew up in a Catholic neighborhood. My parents were not good Catholics, though.
Okay.
So we only had three children, but everybody else around us had 12, 13, 11,
okay.
So a lot of kids in the neighborhood.
Awesome. Awesome.
And so, I mean, I grew up in a pretty poor area. Mm-hmm. My parents were not well to do.
Okay. Okay.
We lived in a trailer for a big part of my life, and my parents worked all the time, and my dad always worked at least two jobs.
So. Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I can
hard working.
Yeah, I see. So that can relate to, you know, what helped you to get there. Seeing that hard work, you know, we all have our specific circumstances that we didn't choose to be into, but they helped us to get to where we are now. So I see the multiple jobs you saw I'm working helped you there.
Yeah, when I look at everything that's happened throughout my life, I feel like it's all because it was preparing me for what I do now.
Okay, okay.
But so I went to college in Central Illinois at a school called Millikan University.
Okay.
And when I came out of school, I had a IT degree.
Okay.
So I went to work for Hewlett Packard.
Okay, Hewlett Packard. And did you stay up north? Or did it send you around the country? Tell us about that.
I was actually in Rolling Meadows, which is a suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
They were broken up into areas and regions at that point. This was the Midwest sales region. So I was there for, I don't know, several years. And then they offered me an opportunity in Atlanta. I'd never been south, so I was a little bit shaky on that. Us Yankees have, you know,
ideas. I definitely understand.
And so I was a little bit hesitant. Plus, I was a single parent with two young children and moving, you know, across the country.
If you don't mind, time frame wise, when was this? It was in the
early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, early 90s.
Okay. Okay.
And so they were actually consolidating a lot of their processing and stuff to the Atlanta area. So they offered me an opportunity. And once I came down here and saw how beautiful it was and everything, I was all in. So
cool. So you did that, and what were some of the responsibilities that you had when in those positions?
Yep. So I was responsible for all of the human resource systems for the United States and South America for Hewlett Packard.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you had a lot of tasks going on with all of the employees there. Now, with Hewlett Packard, was that the stop before we made a decision to help what we do now, or what was next after that?
No. So I worked in a couple different large companies for IT.
Okay.
And did some outsourcing. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but there was one point in time where they decided that a lot of our technology jobs could be better served over in India or other countries.
Okay. Okay.
And so one of my jobs was to really outsource all of the IT jobs over to India.
Okay.
And I didn't really like that very well. And I really loved my job, but I didn't like that aspect of it.
Yeah. With that, was it just one of those things where the cost reduction was just that great is the reason why that took place? Was that the main reason why?
That was the premise.
Okay.
And I think that there was a lot of literature and a lot of studies that said that it was going to be cost beneficial. But I don't think it ever worked out that way.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because when I think about how a lot of the jobs moved to different places, as a, you know, dealing with businesses all the time, I say, okay, it must be just a reduction in costs. Maybe like, if you're purchasing widgets from over there, it's going to be less of a cost. I would think the reason why would be because of that. But I wanted to ask, since you were in that industry.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting, because if you take a company like Hewlett Packard, or I worked for Home Depot too, and so you have people over there that are trying to develop and support the IT systems, but they don't have any idea of what life is like here.
Okay.
So they've never been in a Home Depot store in their lives. They can't even imagine what a Home Depot store is,
right?
And so you're asking them, and they're very smart people, but you're asking them to do things that are so unfamiliar that it actually takes quite a bit more resources and the time difference. There's just a lot of challenges with it.
Yeah, it makes sense, because, you know, you sharing that, I think about an analogy that I share, is that it's easier for you to help, you know, sell a product if you know it.
Oh, yes.
You know, like if you get yourself immersed into that particular thing, you may not know the correct sales techniques, but you know what you're talking about.
Right.
So it's easier to explain. Oh, so I can see how the support would help raise the cost over there. Okay.
Yeah, and then the time difference. And I mean, we all know we've called some place that's outsourced it to some other country and tried to talk to the people on the phone and got caught up in a nightmare type of situation.
Yeah, that is true. That is
so
true. That is
a lot of things, I think, have come back since that time.
But, okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, you know, I guess having that experience could have helped to make you look at things differently. What happened after that experience?
Yeah, so I was getting a little disillusioned with IT at that point and thinking about doing something different. But I will tell you, I never wanted to be a lawyer. That was nowhere on my radar.
Okay.
And actually, my younger brother was a lawyer, but I still never wanted to do that.
Okay.
But my son always wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And he had wanted to do that since he was, you know, school aged.
Right.
And very focused, never went any other way. It was just being a lawyer.
Okay.
And so it was his college career when it was time for him to be studying for the LSAT test. And he really was not studying like he should be.
Okay. All right.
You know?
Right.
And he's super smart, and so he doesn't really know how to study. He's never really had to study.
That's right. Yeah,
which Tammy's, I can't relate to. But
yeah, like I said, always are those children that are out there that just have that. And they don't have to. And like you said, now when it's coming time to, it's a habit that wasn't there. But,
right.
Okay.
And so I was trying to encourage him to study. He wasn't really falling for it. And so I bet him that I could beat him on the LSAT test.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. See, that's awesome to hear. Because like you said, what you're doing is just showing that strength of a parent to say, hey, listen, I'll change it with you if you know to do it. So that's awesome to hear. That's why I ask, because people need to know why you founded
stuff
it.
Stuff that comes out, right?
I'm telling you, right? That's awesome, though. That's awesome. Okay.
And so we both went and took the LSAT test, and we did good, but I beat him by 1 point.
Okay. Nice.
I know. That poor guy.
Hey, listen, you told him. You told
He's going to have to live with it for the rest of his life.
Right. Well, it's okay.
Well, so then he says, do over. You know, hey, bring it on again.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, I don't have anything to lose, right?
Yeah, all right, how'd it go?
And so we both improved our score, and I beat him by 1 point.
Awesome.
I know, so bad for him.
Yes, right.
Hey, sweet mom thing, sweet mom thing.
Of course. See, I told you. Well, cool. So so you both passed it at the same time. Did you guys start it at the same time? Or
well,
how
so this was just the LSAT test, which is to get into law school.
Okay, to get in there, okay.
And so law school started sending me free scholarships.
Oh,
I know.
Nice.
I'm like, I haven't been in IT for 25 years, you know, and I really don't want to like go back to college.
Right.
And I really don't want to be a lawyer.
Okay.
But I felt like there was just one that I couldn't pass up. My brother lived in Southern Illinois and he was raising his granddaughter by himself.
Okay.
And she was about 5 years old. And so when I got a free, you know, full boat scholarship there. And my mom lives pretty close to there. And I haven't lived in Illinois for over 20 years. And I thought, this is a sign from God. Yeah, I always tease that I need the 2x4. You know, other people can get the little nudge from God. But
right,
I need the 2x4.
Right.
Like, well, I think this is the 2x4.
Yeah. Well, good. Let's see. So, and, so you said, okay, it sounds like you said, okay, I'm going to go back up north. And then you went to school. How long did that process take for you?
It's 3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Did you do something during the time in school? Or you just focused on that? What all happened?
I did a lot of things while I was in school. So when I first went to law school, I could tell you every kind of law I did not want to practice and nothing that I wanted to practice.
Okay.
But I did feel like, you know, God had got me that far. He's going to lead me the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. And on campus, they had a free elder law clinic for people 65 and over. Mm-hmm. So I went to volunteer there, and I knew right away. Okay. It's like, okay, this is why I'm here.
Awesome.
This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Awesome.
So I got really involved in that. But I also knew that you can't just do the academic part. You know, you've got to get some hands-on skills. Okay. So I worked with the area agencies on aging here in Georgia 1 year. And so I was a representative down at the Capitol for seniors and different laws that they were implementing at the time and senior rights. I also worked for what's called the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, which most people don't know about, but they represent people that are in nursing homes. They represent their rights in the nursing home.
Okay.
So I just did a variety of different things to learn about it.
Okay. Yeah. So that helped again with the foundation of it, but to see that, okay, this is what I saw. I saw there was, you know, something I'm very interested in and that I want to help with, and you gravitated towards that and those different things that built you up over those 3 years. After those 3 years were over, where did you go from there?
Yeah. So I want to tell you the real clencher, though, that grabbed me about elder law. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes back to, you know, my whole family situation and probably a lot of people's, is I discovered that many of us spend our whole life saving and we are planning for these golden years, right? Mm-hmm. We think that, I don't know, something miraculous is going to happen when we retire and we're going to have this pot of money that we've saved along the way. Mm-hmm. Where in reality, what I saw happening was most people become ill and they end up spending what they've saved their whole life on medical costs and on care. And nobody saves the money so that they could pay it to the nursing home or someplace else.
Right.
You know, you don't pass up like this better model car and say, well, I want to make sure I save a few thousand dollars so I can spend it at the nursing home. For me, that was really what grabbed me was that so many people are saving money and they have this vision. But in reality, that vision kind of blows up.
Right.
And there are ways that you can protect it, but nobody seems to know about it. So when I learned that, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to do this.
Yeah, that's good because you can just tell how you wanted to share it. You know, it was like, hey, let me, I found out this knowledge and let me go and share it with others because I can see how it can help to, like I said, just blow that dream up that you had. So, okay, well, cool.
Yeah.
Again, a foundation. That's why I try to, you know, let people know what it is that's going on because I've been around you for a while and you've been an excellent person, you know, to be around and share. And, you know, I got the chance to learn those things and I'm even learning more today that solidifies those things and just want, you know, everyone to know about it. So
well,
I definitely
you.
Appreciate you sharing that, you know, your why of, you know, what got you to where you're going. So, you know, okay. So now I think we're at school or getting out of school.
Nope. So I graduated and that's when I worked down at the Capitol lobbying for seniors. Mm-hmm. I worked for the Cobb County probate judge. So I was just gathering all of this hands-on knowledge.
Okay.
And then I decided that I would open my own law practice.
Okay. Awesome.
I didn't find any place that I wanted to work. And so I thought, you know, well, I'll just open my own firm.
Okay.
And so I did that in 2014. And so we're, you know, on our seventh year now. And we have two different offices. We're actually getting ready to, we're in the process of moving our Woodstock office to a larger office because we have outgrown it. So.
Oh, that's magnificent to hear because, as you know, going through this past year, you know, it wasn't the same story for a lot, you know, a lot of people. And another thing that, you know, I always like to share the positive part of it because it is so much negative out there if you allow it to
there
be.
Is, yes.
What are some of those things during the time that allowed you to grow like that? What would you say helped you?
During the pandemic, yeah, specifically.
Yeah, that's
yes.
helping you move into the bigger office now with hiring people?
Well, yes. The first thing we did is we're always focused on our clients.
Okay.
And I think we're known for our client services. Mm-hmm. We've gotten quite a few awards for the way that we interact with our clients. Mm-hmm. And it's always been that I want us to treat our clients like it's a member of our family that we love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when someone walks in the door, I want them to feel that love because they're usually going through a difficult time,
right,
or they're contemplating difficult decisions.
Okay.
And okay. So whenever COVID started and we had this shutdown, the first thing we did is we called all of our clients and people in our database just to say, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need anything? Mm-hmm. You know, because now you're sequestered to your house.
Right.
Do you need food and toilet paper?
Right,
you
know? Right, right. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Yes, and yes. So we, our database is quite large. So we called thousands of people. That's all the mm-hmm. team did was just mm-hmm. call people and see how you're doing and right. tell them if they needed something to give right. us a call back. And right. we would be there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that that type of thing is representative of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that were in assisted livings or in nursing homes, and so now all of a sudden they couldn't see right. anybody else.
Correct.
You know, they can't see their family, and that's devastating mm-hmm. for all of us,
mm-hmm.
but especially if you're ill. You're older, you're ill, so you're weak,
mm-hmm.
and now you get isolated.
That's right. Yeah. That's awesome. That's just extra level of care, you know, that you guys had brought value to what it is that you already do. That's one thing we can relate to here, you know, mm-hmm. as far as being on top of the communication, making sure everyone is fine, and then, you know, the target clients that you have, that is exactly what they need at that time. So that's a good share in how, you know, it helped you to grow, because what was it from there? Just referrals from people or what happened?
You know, it really, so we created things for people to do while they're isolated in their rooms,
mm-hmm.
and we took them to the assisted livings and, okay. and that type of thing.
Okay, okay.
So I just feel like we've grown because we continue to do the right thing.
Okay.
And
okay.
try to take care of people. We have to make money to employ mm-hmm. everybody that mm-hmm. works for us, but
that's right.
we are not in it for the money. We
that's
never
right.
have been.
Right.
If you
right.
come in and we can't help you,
mm-hmm.
we don't charge you anything. We're going to tell you.
Right.
You know, hey, Roderick,
yeah.
you're set. You don't
yeah.
need us.
Yes,
you
yes.
know?
Makes sense. Again, that's that value proposition. I've been saying it, you know, since the time, you know, pandemic time I'm talking about,
yeah.
you know, and it's like, if you bring value at this moment when it's just low for people, it's, well, first of all, it's already abnormal for someone to care. I'm sorry. You know, that's just the way that it is. It's easier to be melancholy about it or just not care at all, but it takes a little bit of extra effort to care. And I said, when people are hurting at their worst right now, it's because you don't know what's going to happen. What can we do to help them get through it and bring mm-hmm. value was the premise of it all.
Right.
So I can relate truly on, you know, that helping to build a business. Because again, it started off as an idea in the kitchen and now it's a little different.
The studio.
A little different. So I definitely can go with you on that value message. So
yeah.
again, thanks for sharing that. So now we're moving into a bigger office. And what are some of the things as far as with others to keep an eye out for, you know, to send your way? I know you share with me the foundation of what it is you do, but
mm-hmm.
now, like, you know, to share, hey, what, you know, what does that referral or target, you know, look for you?
Well, when we talk about elder law, most people don't know what that is. I mm-hmm. didn't know, you know, mm-hmm. until I stumbled across it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it turns a lot of people off because it has the word elder in it, which is just a type of law. Like, you got criminal law and you've got elder law.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when you hear elder law, you think, you know, and even my mother is like, well, I'm not elderly. I don't right. need elder
right.
law.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so I get it. But what I would like everyone to know is that we work with all ages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're at risk as husband and wife because we don't know the risk is there.
Yeah.
So okay. we don't understand that we can't do things for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? That means if my husband gets into a bad car accident and he's incapacitated for a while, I can't like get money out of his 401k to pay for any care that he needs.
Oh, so I'm blocked out if I don't. Okay.
I can't sell our house because it's in both of our names if I can't afford it anymore.
Okay.
So we think that because we're married that everything is, you know, fair game, but it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Even if his cell phone is in his name, I can't cancel it.
Okay.
They, you know, won't even talk to me.
Oh, that is true. That is
true. Yeah, they're like, who are you? And I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
His medical insurance wouldn't even talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us, and this is where I say that I think that my life experiences have prepared me for this.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sister-in-law. We were the same age at 51. She had a stroke and died.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was just boom, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she wasn't in bad health or anything. It just happened.
Right.
And who knew that that could happen?
Mm-hmm.
But then you think, well, okay, that is just a one-off, you
right,
know. She
right.
was unlucky, something wasn't right, or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I started seeing other people in my life.
My brother
got in an accident, and he died. And,
no.
you know, it was just different things where I see what people were going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, I never really thought that would happen to me.
Right, that's right.
I just always thought that's like, you know, somebody
else.
Unlucky.
That's right.
But it started becoming more real to me as it was happening closer and closer.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking at the ramifications of that.
That's right.
And said, wow, I mean, people just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know and you don't do anything about it, then that's
right.
okay.
That's right.
You
that's
know,
right.
that's your decision. But if you don't know, you can't even make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if, like, my husband passes away, because we have four kids,
mm-hmm.
if we don't have a will, then it doesn't go just to me. It
mm-hmm.
goes to me and the four kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my kids have not made a house payment.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
I don't want to share the house with them.
I understand. You know? I understand. But if you don't have it in place, there are just rules that are set that you have to follow that process.
That's right.
And I've heard, you know, some crazy stories where things have to go into the court system and all those types of things, and that's what you're helping to avoid. And it
yes.
doesn't matter if you're elderly or not, you know, if you're in some sort of life situation, you could be assistance.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's great, you know, for you to share. One of the things that I also ask on top of that question is, yes, that's the person that you want to be referred to. Now, that group of people that are out there that can be more of a direct referral partner with you, you know, I want to ask, what does that look like for you? What industry does that work in favor of you?
Yeah, so we work with a lot of financial planners. Financial planners have a relationship with their clients, and it's a relationship of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And financial planners know that you need to get a plan together, not only for the finances, but also for your legal aspects.
Okay.
And so they're a good referral source for us. They
mm-hmm.
send people our way.
Okay.
It seems like whenever somebody has paid somebody else for their expert services, they're
mm-hmm.
more likely to pay me
right.
for my expertise
Makes
instead
sense.
Of wanting to go to like LegalZoom
mm-hmm.
and, you know, do it themselves.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, you know, because, you know, we work with businesses all the time and we share with them, we want to help you to be on a solid foundation.
Right.
And it just highlights the business service we do if everything else is in order. You know, so I definitely understand once they pay for one service, it's okay to pay for another because of the value that is brought,
right.
not just the price that is there. So,
right.
So that makes a lot of sense. Okay. So that's good for those types of referral partners. You know, in here, we always have big thoughts, you know,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, what's on the cusp, what's next. You know, I know what you're doing is great right now. I've seen you do a lot of advertising. You know, what's on the cusp for you? What's next, you know, for Nelson Elder Care?
Yeah, I feel like there's so many people that still don't know, and
mm-hmm.
we do a lot of education.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to continue to educate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the areas that I'm really passionate about is people that are caring for a loved one at home
mm-hmm.
Or in a facility. Just being a caregiver is really strenuous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recently published an article that was about resources for caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting together a program that would help them.
Okay. Okay.
So,
well, that's a good deal. you know, again, just trying to let people know, you know, what's going on. You've been of great service to me, you know, as far as just learning from you, you know, and being there. What are some of the other things that us as a group here at the MP group and Burn the Ship can do to help you?
Well, you guys have been great for me. I love your service, and a lot of how we get paid is credit cards. Mm-hmm. And so you guys have done a great job processing that.
Thank you.
And so continue to provide me that foundation.
Okay. We will do that. Of course, we will do that.
I know you will, but I want to say I appreciate it.
Yes, yes, we appreciate that.
I think it's more of an education thing. You know, a lot of us are afraid to talk about what happens if we become incapacitated or what's going to happen if we die. Mm-hmm. So making some of those conversations more mainstream, it doesn't have to be that you sit down at the dinner table and say, well, okay, now if I die, we don't ever talk blood and guts and gory or anything. We make it as easy as possible on our clients, but you have to start thinking about that, because if you don't, then the people around you are going to have some really tough decisions that they have to make quickly.
That is true. That is true. It is definitely doing it for your what's after, because, you know, it's not where we're not going to pass away. It's so tough to talk about it, but, you know, you being afraid of talking about it only hurts who you're leaving behind.
That's right. So, the people you love.
Yeah. So everyone out there, pay attention to that. That is true. It's hard for us to talk about it, but it is true. Well, how can the people get in contact with you? How do you want them to best get in contact with
you? Right. So they can give us a call. We offer a complimentary consultation. We know that people don't want to come in and pay a lawyer before they understand what they're going to get. And so we offer where they can come in and talk to a member of our legal team in person, or if they want to talk over a Zoom meeting or that type of thing, for about an hour, and it doesn't cost anything.
Okay.
And the other part of that is then we work on a flat rate. So it isn't an hourly billing that keeps escalating. You're going to know up front what it's going to cost. That's the cost. There isn't any more.
Okay.
But they can give us a call at 678-250-9355.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Any other way? Any other
social website? And yeah, we're on all over social media with Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and Twitter.
Right. Nelson Elder Care. All right. So, of course, you know, this is all about you. I want to make sure to give you the last word. Can you please just give us our parting shot?
I think that for me, it's become so visible that we live our lives every day just by happenstance. And we really need to have a plan to live our best life. Right. If you don't plan it, you're not going to do it. Whether it's a bucket list or spending more time with your kids or with your spouse or whatever, you got to have a plan. So I would like people to just take a minute and think, do I have a plan? What is my plan?
Right, right.
Because otherwise we get caught up in the day-to-day.
Awesome, awesome. What a wonderful way to leave us off. Today we have Ms. Cindy Nelson with Nelson Elder Care Law. We truly appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a real treat. I appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.